Welcome to the OrthoClips podcast series, where we're going to discuss the latest hot topics and high-impact papers in orthopedic surgery. I'm your host, Saqib Rahman. Let's get this episode started. Welcome back to the OrthoClips podcast series. And today, the title of our podcast episode is From Mission to Empowerment. And I'm here with Dr. Chinenye Nwachukwu, who is a orthopedic surgeon with years of experience taking care of patients up in the Lehigh Valley at the St. Luke's Health Network, over a decade of work there. But he's also been doing some work overseas, and that is the topic of our conversation today, From Mission to Empowerment. Dr. Nwachukwu, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Saqib. Thank you, Dr. Rahman. Great to talk to you. And just for anybody that doesn't know, Dr. Rahman's been very instrumental in my role as an orthopedic trauma surgeon. He's dealt with me from 2009 to, I think, 2010. And, you know, he's been a great liaison as far as just kind of helping me grow as an orthopedic surgeon. So first of all, I thank you.
I did not expect that, but of course, it's always a pleasure talking to you and seeing the trajectory that you're on, doing great things. And so talking about this subject, how did you get involved with orthopedic surgery training overseas in Ghana, for example? Was there a particular story or maybe a patient encounter or experience that you want to share with our listeners that led to your involvement?
Well, definitely. Actually, this has been something that I've been thinking about since actually 1998, when I was at Georgetown Medical School, and me and one of my very good friends, Dr. Henry Boateng, who's from Ghana, always wanted to do something in sub-Saharan Africa. After graduation, we were able to, you know, thank God, get into an orthopedic trauma fellowship and be able to pursue the careers that we're in right now. But one of the things that we always wanted to do was always go back home and be of some sort of asset onto our communities. And we know that, you know, trauma, and specifically orthopedic trauma, is very, very high in some of these countries due to roads and things of that nature. And actually, once Dr. Boateng, you know, contacted me, said, you know what, I think I have some inroads with the hospital that I actually was born in, which is in Koforidua, Ghana. He said, you know what, I would like you to be part of this program. And we've been doing that for many years now. So that's kind of how it got started. So I wouldn't say one specific incident, but it's almost like a dream realized once we got to the point of becoming orthopedic trauma attendings.
Interesting. So maybe let's talk about a typical day when you're over there. Maybe if you can describe how you approach what are the goals when you're going there in your mind? What's been the long-term goal and objective? And if you talk about just a given day when you get there, what is the, you know, patient care experience like? What's the training like? I know, you know, we're talking about from mission to empowerment, and maybe you can explain to us how you're training and making sure that the learning sticks.
No, I think that's a great question. You know, one of the things that I think is important is you want to make sure that the people who are being taken care of have somebody who actually understands them, understands their culture, understands their religious beliefs, because all these things play a role as far as how these patients take treatment being offered to them. So in saying that, you know, our main goal is to make sure that we train physicians so that they stay home and take care of their own. But at the same time, it's a learning experience for us coming from these quote-unquote high-income countries where we get to learn how to do things their way with the resources that they have. The other part of your question as far as how is it on a daily basis, when we go on these trips, we have a multidisciplinary team that goes. So we have anesthesiologists, orthopedic trauma surgeons. We also have general surgeons who are there already, who actually make this work at that hospital, because the general surgeons at the hospital that we actually go to, which is a regional hospital, they take care of everything. They take care of OBGYN, they do general surgery, they do some of the orthopedic care. So being able to have everybody around that will be able to take care of the patient, you know, completely is very important. And because we have that setup, what happens is when we get these patients, patients are usually lined up for us. They're patients that come in an acute setting. So we have, again, the house officers who are basically equivalent of interns in our system. We have also the general surgeons who kind of tee things up, but also because they're able to communicate more fluently with the patients, it was kind of let us know what's going on, help us with kind of assessing the patient real time. And then we always have things that are set up from an orthopedic surgical standpoint. We have the OR set up, which is really assisted by the anesthesiologist. And we also have, you know, the house officers being part of the care. So from a perioperative to a postoperative standpoint, they kind of understand the steps taken to get the patients the best outcome.
And well, actually, let's talk about maybe, and I'm sure every day is a little bit different, but if you were to maybe tell us a typical day, some of the listeners may have been involved in, for instance, you know, medical mission trips, or maybe they've gone with a team to an underserved area and lent their surgical care skills on a particular trip or maybe on a recurring basis. But maybe you can just give us the example of just a typical day maybe at the hospital where you're working at over there.
Absolutely. Typical day starts like this. You get some breakfast, you're in the hotel room. We travel about 30 minutes away. Everybody gets in there. We go and we make sure we round on the patients first. Sometimes they may be post-op patients from prior years or even from the prior day. And then we basically just kind of triage to see who can go to the operating room at that time. So sometimes we're doing anywhere from 10 to maybe 16 cases because we also have, you know, cases that may require plastic surgery. So again, we have plastic surgeons, as I didn't mention that before, as part of the team. After we've done our triaging and rounded, then we go through our day. Usually this first day, you know, we already have set up before we even get to Ghana what kind of cases we'll do. But maybe we'll have three rooms running. We would have a room for orthopedic trauma. We have a room that may have some plastic coverage. And if there are things that need joint coverage, you know, then we'll kind of prioritize. Start probably anywhere from around 7, 8 a.m. in the morning. And this can go anywhere to like 9, 10 p.m. at night, or depending on how many cases that we have. So it's pretty intense. But at the same time, we also set aside time to go see patients in the clinic. Because again, because we're coming in, people have notification that, you know what, their surgeon's coming from these high income countries and they're going to see you. So we're actually treating these patients also from a conservative standpoint. So we have operative days, and then one person may break out and actually go help in the clinic so that we can actually see these patients and treat them conservatively.
So what have been some of the biggest challenges, would you say, in implementing, you know, sustainable orthopedic education abroad in general? And we can use Ghana as your example. You know, thinking about logistical issues, you kind of hinted at potential, you know, cultural challenges. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm sure there are resource-based challenges. You know, how you adapted. And maybe you can tell us about a challenge that you faced and how you guys dealt with it, because I'm sure others listening to this may have had similar issues, or if they're thinking about doing this, what kind of tips can you give?
Absolutely.
Lessons learned.
Definitely. I think I have to thank Dr. Boateng for this part too. I think anytime you're going somewhere to be of service, I think you need to know who you're being of service to. You need to understand where you're going, know what the rules of the land are. Because again, I may have all the treatment plans available, but if it's going against their cultural beliefs or things they feel are of importance to them, then I won't be able to supply that treatment that I'm going there for. So I think really understanding the people and who you're going to treat is of utmost importance. Everything after that, I think, is not much of a challenge, because again, even if you don't have the resources, you can still treat conservatively. And I think one of the things that we don't talk a lot about is the conservative management. We want to do operative intervention, yes, but I think if we can at least get through to the people, I think it makes such a big difference.
Can you give us an example of maybe a particular cultural challenge that you faced, and maybe something specific, I guess, to Ghana and the area where you went?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that, you know, I actually heard it at one of the talks, international talks, was, you know, the traditional bone setters. You know, I think, you know, some patients would not take any Western medicine as far as having implants placed in them. So we had a patient who actually came in, had bilateral tibia fractures, was treated by the traditional bone setters, and, you know, one of the tibia healed very well, you know, some malalignment, but again, enough that the patient can walk on it. The other one has some complications. One infection really was an infected non-union. So we had to really talk to the patient and let them understand what we are doing. And sometimes it's a misunderstanding that keeps them from wanting to have that treatment. But after we had, you know, the people who are from there, and also Dr. Boateng, because he speaks that language over there, kind of speak to the patient, and then I kind of gave my two cents and allowed her to understand why we were doing it. And it was one of those things where she also understood that if we needed to take this implant out, we could. That could be a challenge by itself, because it needs somebody that will be there to do that. But again, it was just a communication that allowed us to at least provide the care that we thought would provide the best outcome for the patient. But again, traditional bone setters, you know, I think sometimes they may get a bad rep, but I think they do some great work. I think we as surgeons who come from outside only see the patients who had a bad outcome. And that's true for anything. Even if we're here, sometimes you can have a complication. You'll go to another hospital you don't know. But I think that's a challenge, being able to just kind of make sure that everybody understands what's going on. And I think that allows for better outcomes after your treatment. Hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, no, that's a good example. You know, before wrapping up, can you maybe speak a little bit about how you've seen, in your experience at least, you and Dr. Boateng, have you seen the local surgical community where you're working evolve or change or respond over the years as a result of your collaborations? And thinking about that, what do you think are, what you would suggest would be next steps to keep advancing, you know, trauma care and this type of training in Ghana and maybe other African countries?
Absolutely. I think, you know, doing this in Ghana was the first step. You know, doing this in other countries in sub-Saharan Africa, like Nigeria, things of that nature, I think would be something that would be very effective if done appropriately. I do believe that brain drain is the one thing that we're trying to prevent here. Being able to, the general surgeons over there, they're very, very helpful and want to collaborate, which is very important. Two, I think because there's reciprocal learning, it makes it easier. It's not one person telling somebody what to do or teaching, you know, just one way unilaterally. It's basically an exchange of ideas, which is very helpful. And I think that inclusiveness just makes it easier for everybody to work together. I think one of the things that we've done very well is just being able to expose some of the medical students or the house office to different types of specialties. We have people who want to go into plastic surgery, people want to go into anesthesia, which is one of the things that most African countries is really lacking, having anesthesiologists. But for us, you know, just to be selfish from an orthopedic standpoint, being able to have somebody actually see us do cases and also treat patients conservatively and then want to go into orthopedics, get into an orthopedic program, I think that's probably one of the best things that for me has resonated. Yes, we take care of patients. It's always a blessing to, you know that patients had a great outcome, God willing, from what you've done. But to see that somebody has seen what you're doing and wants to take that next step to actually be of service to their community, I think it's been probably the most joy I've received out of kind of going to these trips because I know that's something that's going to be sustainable. That person's going to want to speak to somebody else and get them into orthopedics so that now you have a growing orthopedic community in those cities, in those areas.
And you don't like calling them mission trips.
I do not. And again, I think mission trips are amazing, you know, from a family history standpoint. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm here. A missionary came and, you know, they were able to really influence people in my family to go into healthcare, but go into healthcare in a different country. And, you know, I think those are great. But for me, I take these more as teaching trips. I take these more as a reciprocal learning trips. And I like to take the mission part out of it because, again, my goal is to make sure that people are staying in their region, in their community, in their country, and providing great health services to those that need it.
Great. I think on that, we'll probably wrap it up. For those of you who just checked in, maybe we've been talking with Dr. Chinenye Wachuku. Nay, it's been a pleasure. We've been talking about from mission to empowerment. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Appreciate you sharing your expertise and your experiences with our listeners.
Hey, I appreciate you, Dr. Rahman. And it's always great work and always great catching up with you.